Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
What fortune lies beyond the stars? Those dazzling heights too fast to climb. I got so hard to fall so far. But I found heaven as love swept.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, if you have been following us along in the book of Luke, we're in chapter 21. Now, if you haven't been following for a while, get your Bible open, get your cup of coffee or your tea, and sit down and open up to the book of Luke.
A nice cup of Earl Grey hot tea.
Love it.
Sit down with the book of Luke and you're set.
Yeah, I like oolong, but ooh. I'll take some Earl Grey
there
too.
There you go.
And we're talking about the signs of the end of the age, and we've been talking in Jesus is talking to us, I guess, and we've been speaking about it, but we're picking up in chapter 21 and verse number 13. It says, "This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make your mind up not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself." So here in the beginning, he says that you're going to be hauled before judges. You're going to be taken before the synagogues. You're going to be put in prison and before governors and kings, and all because of the name of Jesus. And he says, so you're going to be a witness to them. Well, obviously, if you get hauled in because of the name of Jesus, you're going to be a witness.
Yeah, you know, people got arrested back then. So he was speaking to the first century church as well, but he's also speaking to people throughout the ages, because there are Christians even today who are being persecuted, being arrested, being tortured. All these things that Jesus said are happening today.
Well, I would think, you know, today a lot of times the left group, there are some far left groups, they are out there doing some crazy, crazy things. Yeah. And people, they don't say anything about them. Some of them are violent. But if Christians ever started witnessing like we're supposed to, they would probably want to lop our heads off too.
They probably would. You know, you start mentioning Jesus,
yeah,
and people,
they don't like it.
People get aggravated. It does something to them. And like you said, I think they would be okay to do some violence to Christians.
I think so. But here he says that this day is going to come when you're going to be called before kings, rulers, judges, and synagogues in different places, and you're going to be persecuted. And the reason you're going to be persecuted is because you're witnessing, you're talking about Jesus. But he says, don't worry about this. Make your mind up ahead of time, not to worry. I like that. Make your mind up ahead of time, not to worry. It's going to happen, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know, I know it's coming. Jesus has given me the warning already, so why waste any time worrying?
And then he says, don't even worry about how you're going to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Now, that's something that is very difficult for us, because if we know we're going before someone who we're called up for charges or we're doing something, we work it out in our head and we figure out exactly what we're going to say. We have a script, if you want, what we're going to do, how we're going to present it, and so forth. And he says, don't even worry about
that. Don't even worry about it.
I mean, that's pretty amazing
to
me.
I've got you covered.
That's amazing. Somehow he's going to get into our minds and be able to tell us exactly what we need to do at this particular moment, or else just have us keep our mouth shut.
Yeah. You know, and it can vary upon the situation, obviously. You know, Paul said that we have the mind of Christ, which is so cool to think that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, you know, coming into a relationship. When we come into a relationship by faith, something supernatural happens within us. And I think he was alluding to that fact that, listen, in the days to come, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a power within you to be my witness, is what he said. So later on, Luke kind of affirms this statement from Jesus. And we do. We have something within us. We have the presence of God within us, and he will help us if this ever happens to us.
And that's what he basically says. Luke records it for us. He says, Jesus says, "For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict."
Wow.
I mean, wouldn't a lawyer like to have that?
Isn't that awesome?
I mean, if a lawyer had this ability, he would pay a lot of money for this.
I'm not a debater. Never been a good debater.
You got to work at it, I think.
Yep. I was at a job one time, and this guy was into debate, and he found out I was a Christian.
Oh, he wanted to debate you.
And he wanted to debate me. And just the way he spoke and the way he presented himself, it was just like sting. And I'm just like, how do I respond to that? You know, because I was caught completely off guard.
Yeah.
And but here,
nice.
It says, the Holy Spirit will help you.
He's going to give you these words of wisdom.
He's going to give you these words.
And the best part about it, your adversaries will not be able to resist you or contradict you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't happen too often, because the people who are contradicting Christianity are doing it because they have been... they've thought about it a lot, at least most of them, and they've got it in their minds that we have been brainwashed, and so everything that we believe is not real.
Yeah.
And so it's a challenge when you think about it, because faith is something that you can't really figure it out. It's something that God gives you. Faith is a gift from God, and when he gives it to you, it's kind of like the world. This world was framed by the word of God. So by faith, actually, this world was spoken into existence. Mm-hmm. Before it became, it was spoken into. It was by faith it came about. I mean, when you think about that, then that just kind of blows your mind. And there's no way you're going to try to rationalize faith. You've just got to believe it.
Yeah, there's certain things that can only be accepted
right.
by faith.
Yeah, and the Bible is very clear that God's the one who gives you the faith.
Right.
And he allows the Holy Spirit, allows Satan, not the Holy Spirit, he allows Satan to blind the minds of unbelievers lest they would believe. So, sometimes we think, everybody's going to believe in the end, but that's not what God says. There's going to be some people that are not going to believe, and they're not going to make it into heaven. I'm sorry, you may not like this, but that's what it says, that not everybody's going to make it into heaven. You have to believe. You have to have faith.
It's hard for us because it's God's will that none should perish, and he's done everything he can so that all humanity can be saved.
He's provided a way.
And he's done everything, and yet people will still reject it. Their minds have been blinded, like you said, by the deception of Satan.
Right.
And so we know that some won't accept that faith and won't walk in that faith, and they just refuse to look at the light who is Jesus Christ.
And so that really brings us to this particular point that Jesus mentions here. Because the world has been blinded, it's very difficult for the gospel or maybe something that you are speaking to them about or some reason why you are telling and testifying about Jesus Christ, what God has done in your heart. They're not receiving it. But here, Jesus says, don't worry about that because I'm going to give you, when you stand before him, I'm going to give you words there. You're going to be able to defend yourself. And the wisdom that you have, they're not going to be able to resist it. They're not going to be able to contradict it. I love that idea right there. I wish that would happen every moment.
Every moment, yeah. There's times it does, and then there's times it doesn't. Yeah.
It'd be nice if that was that's where you were all the time. I think you would be wanted as a debater, don't you think?
I would think so. He's talking about these moments of great persecution that are to come. In conversations with people, sometimes we're not even thinking, we're not prayed up. I think the things that we're going to be doing here is we're going to be praying a whole lot more when we know this is coming.
That's
just kind of living our life. We may not be as prayed up as we should.
Yeah.
And it's in those relationship moments where you think back and you probably say, I probably should have said this instead of that.
Get on your knees. But you notice what he says in the next verse. He says, you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and they'll put some of you to death. Didn't say anything about sisters in here, just brothers, relatives, parents. So maybe we'll include them too. But anyway, friends, maybe that is in there too. Friends, you don't think of friends or parents or brothers or even relatives betraying you.
Yeah. You think of your enemy betraying
you. Yeah, but not your friends.
Not
like this. No.
But the name of Jesus, it all goes back all on account of my name in verse number 12.
It's
when you bring Jesus into the mix, immediately family, friends, relatives, the minute you bring Jesus in, there's either a connection because of the family of God or there is a separation because of the name of Jesus.
Yeah, but he says here that some of you are going to be put to death.
Yeah.
And we don't see that in America, but there are certainly places, like you mentioned before, that around the world that Christians are being put to death. And it says in verse 17, which we're finding some of this to be true today, is that all men will hate you because of me. And I think we find that. There are people that want to come in and speak in a college with a conservative voice. Maybe they're Christians, maybe they have a belief in God, but they definitely have a conservative look on life. And these people, they don't want them to speak. They really hate them. They don't like them.
Yeah, we've seen it. They're being rejected from speaking engagements. They're being canceled.
Yeah.
Once they find out that there is any, once again, you come back to that name of Jesus, the name of Christ, and it just brings out the venom.
But you have to understand it because no way to get saved but through the gospel message, through Jesus. And so Satan doesn't want people to get saved. So he's going to do whatever he can to keep people from hearing from somebody who has a conservative or a faith-based message.
Yeah.
They're not going to listen to it at all.
And that name of Jesus has power.
Yeah, they don't like that, though.
It has power to heal. It has power to save.
Yeah.
It has power to rile up people.
It's got power. So you might be hated because of Jesus, but he says not a hair on your head will perish. Mm. Now, there's a lot of people with some lightly covered heads, and I wonder what happens to their hair. I wonder if they really are gone or whether Jesus saves them all up and they'll never perish or whether they just come back when you go to heaven.
Not a head. Boy, I guess... Not a hair of your head will perish.
what happens to those hairs on the head that are pulled out just because you lose your hair from some stress-related incident? But whether or not there might be the root that's still in the in your head, yeah. And so when you get to heaven, maybe you got a full head of hair.
I'm trying to think how we can use this to, you know, with bald people. I'm just wondering.
Well,
my dad, you know, had a little issue with that.
Yeah. Well, maybe you got to come up with a new prayer for people. Yeah. You can make a buck on that one.
A hair of your head will
perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. Now that's pretty interesting, because a lot of times when you stand firm, you think, well, you're finished, because somebody's standing against you. You just can't. You've got to capitulate a little bit. You have to give way somewhere. Otherwise, there's going to be no middle ground or anything. Yeah. But here, that's not what he's saying. You got to better stand firm and keep your faith.
Yeah. You know, I think about the Lord of the Rings movies, and I think about that moment when one of the main characters there gives that rousing speech. They're standing on the threshold of the evil kingdom, and you know, there's men that are standing there, and he says, you know, one day men may perish, one day men may fall, and the kingdom of men will fall, but not today.
Not today.
And he's like, you know, we have to stand firm in moments of great persecution, when the name of Jesus Christ has put you in a place where you have to make a choice to stand firm or to bow. He says, stand firm.
Yeah, and that's a good word for you. And when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that the desolation is near. Now, that is letting us know that it's not going to be that much longer, because Jerusalem really is surrounded even now by enemies. If you're in Jerusalem, you're not very far from Bethlehem, and that is it's an Arab city. I mean, it's just right there.
Palestinian hands.
Palestinian hands. And it is, you go in there and it's just like darkness. I mean, it's horrendous.
I read something recently in the news that there are classic, I think, Jewish and maybe Christian sites, historical holy sites that were given over to the Palestinians.
Yeah. Or,
you know,
Bethlehem would be one of them for sure.
There were 10, I think there were like 7 or 10 different sites that through an agreement or something that was made recently that were handed over to the Palestinian Authority. And it's just like,
well, they want Jerusalem.
Being surrounded. Yeah,
they want Jerusalem. That's what they want.
In.
They want Jerusalem. And so this is what he's talking about. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you'll know that the desolation is near. So if you're watching the news, you hear things about Israel, and you see what's happening with the Arabs surrounding Jerusalem and wanting Jerusalem, you should know that maybe it's time that you pay attention to what the Bible has been saying.
Yeah.
About time to pay a little more attention to it.
I mean, we know this happened in 70 AD when the temple was knocked down.
Yeah.
So in the first century, this happened. But he's also prophetically speaking for another day that we know is coming. And like you said, it's happening today. You can't watch the news without realizing that Jerusalem and Israel is a focal point of the news. This little tiny country out there, you would think, what's the big deal?
Right. You would think of, because when you go there, it's not a beautiful city like a Paris or somewhere like that. I mean, it's unique because of the golden stones, but it's
other than that.
No.
But from it flows this book. Has said,
and God has chosen it.
Yeah, you know, this is where I'll set up my kingdom. Where I will dwell, in a sense. And it is a tell all. And right here at this moment, as you see the surrounding of Jerusalem today and in 70 AD, the prophecy that Jesus made here is being fulfilled.
Yeah, he says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. Wow. So there's something going to be happening in that city that you really don't want to be hanging around in there, unless you're military or something, because you don't want to be in there. He's telling you, you know, if you just, you better flee. If you're in Judea, which is probably a little bit north of Judea of Jerusalem, just head out. Get out into the mountains. And then he says, don't go into the city, whatever you do, for this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. No, you know, we don't talk too much about punishment in the scriptures, but there is a responsibility for those who make bad choices, I guess you say. There's going to be judgment somewhere. And that's what he's talking about here. There's going to be judgment. And here, if it begins in the house of the Lord, if it begins in Jerusalem, then what's going to be the end of it? Because we know from there goes to Armageddon, and then it affects the whole world. And so It's going to be a tough time.
It's pretty interesting. You read the Old Testament, you know, and obviously Jesus was alluding to the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, if you will, all that was written about it, all that was written about Jerusalem. And there were warnings, warning after warning after warning through the history of ancient Israel and through the prophets, which is a bulk of the Old Testament, warning after warning for the nation and for Jerusalem itself and the other cities, towns. And here Jesus is saying, all that has been written, all that I've warned you about, it's going to come to pass. Part of it happened in 70 AD under the Roman Empire. Part of it is going to happen in the end of the ages. Part of it's we've seen it throughout history. Israel became a nation again in 1947. So there's a lot of stuff that has happened in that little bitty nation, and they've come back, and now they're being pushed again. But God is going to keep his covenant that he made with them, and we are going to see this stuff unfold again.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. How dreadful it will be in those days for a pregnant woman and a nursing mother. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, it's pretty interesting that Jesus mentions what compassion he has. He mentions nursing mothers and those pregnant ladies that are having babies because it could be in a very difficult time of stress or they could lose the baby. Sure. So he's got great compassion, and he talks about, nursing mothers and pregnant ladies. That's pretty cool.
It is. You know, obviously you said there's punishment for actions, but here are these innocent people.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yep. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring of the seas. Man, all kinds of things are going to happen at the end of the earth. Roaring, tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror. Talk about terrorism. There it is.
Yeah.
Apprehensive of what's coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power, great glory. When these things begin to happen, then stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws near.
Man, what we believe in is coming to a head, and this will be beautiful.
Hey, we're looking forward to see you at Bethany. God bless you. Have a great day.